This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, good evening, and welcome into the next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and indeed, it is Friday night. There is a number of compelling matchups this evening in the NBA, but of course, all eyes will be watching on Saturday night as the Warriors, the Thunder, KD is going to be back at Chesapeake Energy Arena, 7:30 tip on ABC, looking so forward to that game. But right now, we're going to power up. We're going to head out to the Eastern Conference. We got to zero in on the New York Knicks, who have had a disastrous season so far, especially after Wednesday night with Charles Oakley's police altercation. He was arrested, escorted from Madison Square Garden. I mean, the dysfunction continues. So the gentleman that I'm going to invite in on our program and provide some answers, hopefully, is longtime NBA columnist. He is with SiriusXM NBA Radio, does an outstanding job, and that is Mitch Lawrence. Good evening, Mitch. It's nice to have you with us. I mean, what did we just witness on Wednesday night? Was that Jerry Springer? I mean, do we need to call Dr. Phil?
I mean, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff in my days of covering Madison Square Garden. I mean, I've seen fights. Uh-huh. I've seen Jeff Van Gundy going at it with Miami, with Alonzo Mourning. I've seen Latrell Sprewell come back and unleash an unbelievable verbal assault against the Garden boss and Knick owner Jim Dolan. But the Oakley altercation is something I never thought I'd see. But, you know, here's the thing, Alyssa, you have to remember. Charles Oakley has been in a public battle, a public war of the words with the Garden owner, Garden boss James Dolan, for the last few years. And he's basically persona non grata with the Knicks. You know, the Knicks always bring back, like a lot of teams, you'll have the older players, former players come back to help them celebrate certain milestones for the team. This is the Knicks' 70th birthday this year. And Charles Oakley, because he's got a very bad relationship with James Dolan, he hasn't been invited back for anything. And so once you saw, you know, Oakley on the premises, I'm not saying people thought something was going to happen, but you knew what? You could foresee something happening because of the proximity of where Oakley was to James Dolan, and it just escalated into this ugly, ugly confrontation where, you know, Oakley gets, you know, he has to get basically tackled and brought out of the arena, and he's booked in a local police precinct, and that's the last thing the Knicks need in this season, where you got Carmelo and Phil going at each other and all kinds of stuff, and the team's losing again, which never helps.
Okay, so Charles Oakley, it is very well documented, his displeasure with James Dolan. So I have to wonder this. I mean, how in the world did he get those seats? I mean, it seems like it was premeditated that he wanted to be there. He wanted to send a message, whether it was verbal, nonverbal. It was not a coincidence that he was sitting there so close.
I think he admitted to the police, or at some point during his booking, he told people that actually somebody provided the ticket for him. They've really had a bad look. It's funny, you have former teammates that he played with when the Knicks went to a couple finals, and guys like, you know, Larry Johnson and John Starks and Allen Houston, who worked for James Dolan, who worked for the Knicks, who think the world of James Dolan, and they obviously, you know, are working for him. And then you've got the outsiders, you've got Oakley, you've got Latrell Sprewell, and guys like that, and those guys have been at war with James Dolan. And one thing, and I've learned this as a columnist for the Daily News, I was at the New York Daily News for 21 years, if you don't write something that James Dolan likes, and you're constantly on him because of their mismanagement and the dysfunction of the Knicks, or you're a former player, and you're critical, and you make public comments, James Dolan, his way of retaliating is, for me, he barred me basically from covering the team for a year. And then when it came to the other guys, I'm talking about, you know, Sprewell and Charles Oakley, they're basically persona non grata. I couldn't get a press pass, but these guys actually work for James Dolan at one point and play for the Knicks, and they're not allowed back in the Garden in a lot of ways. And so, you know, it's unfortunate because the Knicks are doing a lot of things this year. They're always, you know, they have this motto, once a Knick, always a Knicks, which we kind of make light of when it comes to guys like Baron Davis, who hardly played there. But, you know, there are a lot of guys who are always brought back to the fold. And with Phil Jackson now running the team, there's even more of that. But Charles Oakley, because of what he said and because of how James Dolan views him now, he is not involved in these things, and that really infuriates Oakley, as we saw.
It certainly did not look good, him shoving law enforcement officials.
No.
He conducted himself in a very belligerent fashion. He didn't get a pass on my...
No, he doesn't. You know what? It's not... It was not very... Look, it looked bad. It was bad for Oakley. It was just a stunning thing because everybody knows who he is. The proximity to Dolan didn't look good. There were allegations. There were witnesses who claimed that he was yelling things at Dolan, inflammatory things. He did not comport himself like he should have. I mean, people have made light of it, I know, on Twitter and stuff about how Oakley is still mean and this and that. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, this is a whole different thing, and you're absolutely right. He shouldn't have done what he did. You could say, did it warrant him getting, manhandled or basically, escorted out in a physical confrontation? Apparently it did. And, you're basically in Madison Square Garden. That's owned by James Dolan, and he can have his security people, do that. So, no, it wasn't a good look for Charles. Not at all.
Now, Mitch, I know you were in Brooklyn. You were talking to Scotty Brooks up there, but you weren't at the game. So is there any way, as a journalist's point of view, I mean, how can you find out what truly did happen in that, 4.5 minutes that Charles Oakley was there? Because he believed that, he was on his best boy behavior.
Yeah, he claims that he didn't say anything. And I've read all the accounts, and I've talked to some people who were there. And it's it's definitely Charles is putting his word up against these other people. So anytime the Knicks play, I guess I should rather be there than in Brooklyn, right?
Right. Let's talk some more about the Knicks. Give us the sense of Spike Lee. He's a bit restless, too. He is looking to pack Phil Jackson's bags. How big of an influence can Spike Lee have?
None, but it's fun. I mean, Spike is like the team mascot. He's taken sides in the Carmelo-Phil war. Phil, it's interesting. Phil hasn't talked to the New York media since September, and he's not going to. But he sends out tweets, which a lot of people don't like. They think that NBA team president shouldn't be tweeting out, especially when you're going after your best player. And whether it's a motivational thing, but a lot of people think that this is Phil's way of trying to exert pressure on Carmelo to make him get so fed up and so frustrated with what's going on that he'll finally, waive his no trade clause. That's not going to happen. My sources and other people have talked to people who also insist that Carmelo's going to dig his heels in, that Carmelo's not going to do this, that Phil can't pressure him into leaving. Carmelo's a guy very proud. Carmelo is a guy who has handled himself beautifully in this whole thing.
He really has.
He's not at all taken a low road. I mean, he's kind of tried to humor Phil. The only thing I disagree when Carmelo said he's tested my will, all this Phil stuff is that he has the no trade clause. So, weeks ago he could have come out and said, hey, I've given it some thought, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to waive my no trade. No matter what Phil brings to me, I'm not waiving my no trade. I'm committed to stay through the Knicks. Could I rethink it in the summer? Yeah, but right now I want to get this team to the playoffs. We haven't been there in 3 years. So I say something like that instead of coming out and saying it tests my will. We all know that Carmelo holds all the cards here. Listen, he holds the power. He has this no-trade clause. And so Phil can come with him with the greatest trade to join up with LeBron in Cleveland or Chris Paul, his buddy, out with the Clippers. Carmelo doesn't have to go. He doesn't have to approve it. He, I think, and Dirk Nowitzki are two of the only players in the league to have these no-trade clauses. And they're gold. They're not giving out willy-nilly. So, I mean, Carmelo, for the most part, has handled himself great. Phil hasn't, but Phil's had a lot of problems as a team president. He was great as a coach. 11 championships, and he was great in Chicago and Los Angeles. But there's a big difference between coaching a bunch of champions and building a championship team, and Phil hasn't done a good job.
Well, a lot of dysfunction. It continues with the New York Knicks. So let me put you on the spot just a bit, Mitch. I mean, whose side are you on, Phil Jackson or Carmelo Anthony? Who needs to go?
Well, what the time has come for. Really, Phil needs to go, and I'll tell you why. Even if he were to trade Carmelo, I don't trust Phil that he could build a team. As the saying around New York goes, at least Carmelo does his job a little bit better than Phil. I mean, Carmelo is a fading star. He has problems down the defensive end with lateral quickness and stuff, and he's not that great fourth quarter scorer anymore. But, Phil is just not cut out for this job. I don't know how hard he works at it. There's a lot of questions about that. He's not out scouting like other team presidents. And I think it's really time that it's going to be 3 years in March next month that he was brought in, with the specific assignment of, building a team that can contend, at least in the Eastern Conference. And look at where the Knicks are now. So many games under 500 and a lot of bad moves done by Phil. I may not give him every credit for drafting Kristaps Porzingis. The player you really want was Jahlil Okafor, who was taken a pick before by Philadelphia, but he does get credit for, getting Porzingis in the draft that year. The problem is that a lot of his other moves have backfired, including giving Carmelo not just the max money deal that he got, $125 million,
right,
but adding the no-trade clause. So I'm siding just in a limited way with Carmelo here, although I've always felt that Carmelo should be gone too, because if you nearly need to rebuild from the bottom up, and that means getting rid of a guy like Carmelo Anthony.
The NBA conversation continues with Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio right after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and the NBA conversation continues. That's right, we're talking about the New York Knicks. Mitch Lawrence, NBA columnist and host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, is with us. Okay, so Mitch, we are 2 weeks out from the trade deadline. It is truly quickly approaching. Tell me about the value of Carmelo Anthony. Is he still a top 10 player in the league?
No. He's not a top 10 player.
How do you view him, then?
He thinks he's a top lane player. I'm sorry?
How do you view him, then?
Well, I view him still as he's a good scorer. He's advanced in age. He is a guy who might be able to, you know, he can have games where he can get you, like LeBron has said, he can score 25 points in a quarter. Those games are very rare now. He's a guy who is right now, you have to have him on your team as a second option. He can't be your first option, your first star. He might not, in some teams, he'd probably be better off as your third best player. Like if he were on Cleveland with LeBron and Kyrie Irving, let's say something could happen with Kevin Love, then Carmelo might be okay. He's still not as good as Kevin Love. I think in the ideal situation for the Clippers, he'd be your fourth player. So I think he's lost a lot. And I think these last few years have taken a toll on him with knee and shoulder injuries, extra duty with the Olympics. I know, you know, Carmelo always starts an early vacation here because he doesn't make the playoffs, but let's face it, he's slowed down. He's not as dangerous a scorer as he used to be, and he's definitely not a top 10 player. He's probably still in the top, you know, 25 to 30 players.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, Alyssa, you look at the league, you look at the young players who have come in the last couple of years.
You bet.
You look at guys still like LeBron who play at a high level and other veteran players who are like Carmelo. He's dropped a lot.
NBA columnist, host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, so as I said, the trade deadline, it is quickly approaching. Who or what do the Knicks need?
A new team. Well, you know what? To get them really going well, they need another wing scorer. I mean, Dwayne Wade would look great with them. You know, Courtney Lee hasn't given them much. You know, it's a situation where Derrick Rose has not been good here, which a lot of us thought would be a little dicey on the last year of his contract. They have to, if they can't anybody, they've got to get more out of Porzingis after the trade deadline. They really do, because he's been lost in the shuffle. When you have a ball-dominant, me-first type of point guard like Derrick Rose, and you have a Carmelo Anthony on the floor, it's going to be hard to get Porzingis the ball. They have to do much more in terms of that. Defensively, they're not a good team. If they could get themselves a defense-first wing player, that'd be great, too. But they do need another scorer. I just don't think they have the assets to go out and get those players.
Hey, Mitch, I pride myself on being a very positive person, and that is one thing we can give credit to Phil Jackson for doing is he deserves credit for Porzingis, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, you know, it's amazing. Porzingis is the guy who, when you talk to Knicks fans, and they're all upset about, you know, the Oakley Dolan thing, and they're all upset about the treatment of Carmelo.
Yeah.
But one thing they have to hang their hat on is, you know, they've got Porzingis for the future, and he's a young player, and he's improving. He's 7'3", he's got a world of skills. Yeah, he's got a lot to do still on defense and rebounding and stuff, but he's a building block, and that's at least something that provides you that glimmer of hope. Just like Minnesota has Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins, and Philly with Joel Embiid, and the Lakers have their three players. I mean, the Knicks have a chance to go, you know, into the post-Carmelo era, get away from Carmelo, get away from Derrick Rose and these veteran players, and start building around this young, talented kid. So, yeah, I think Knicks fans are grateful for Phil Jackson for that. But then again, he fell in his lap, so... Hey, all credit to Phil for that, right?
Hey, that's right. NBA columnist and host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, the great Mitch Lawrence. He is back with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We would love to hear from you. Chime in on this conversation. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports. And you can go back and listen to this entire interview at Podcast Arena. LeBronJames.com. And we're going to transition here in just a second. We're going to talk about LeBron James and his dispute about Frank Isola's article. But give me a quick hit on one more thing on Phil Jackson. I understand that him and his former fiance, Jeannie Buss, they broke up in the month of December and made that announcement. Can you provide some insight? What happened? I mean, those guys were quite an item and a special couple for many, many years.
I don't know what happened, but I'll tell you what.
He's breaking everybody's heart.
the guy who made out in that was Magic Johnson, because there was always that there was always the thought that if Phil was going to leave New York, Jeannie Buss would hire him, since they were together, to come in to help run the Lakers and, you know, take the power away from her brother Jim Buss, et cetera, and on and on. But when they broke up, and I don't, you know, who knows why. I mean, look, Phil lives full-time basically now in New York, and she's in Los Angeles. So you know how those relationships, even if you've been together for a long time as they have, that's dicey. But now, you know, with Magic now in there, Phil is in New York. He's got 2 years left on his contract, so he's probably going to want to, you know, fulfill that. So Phil basically, I don't know where Phil can turn to. I'm talking not about relationship. I'm talking about in case he has to go to another team. But the Lakers out of the picture now.
Uh-huh.
He's available for any woman out there, but in terms of teams, I think he's pretty much limited to the Knicks.
Commuting relationships, never easy. A few more minutes with Mitch Lawrence tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We love him. Hey, Mitch, reach out, connect with our audience. Where can they check out some of your amazing articles online? I'm always retweeting and giving, you know, favorite button. Yes, tell our listeners.
Well, I'm at Forbes.com and SportingNews.com, and I'm at @Mitch_Lawrence. That's my Twitter handle. And you can, if you have any questions, just ask me on Twitter. It's no problem.
Okay, give me a hit on LeBron James, his dispute about the article with one of the guys that you work with. We love Frank Isola.
Yeah, Frank, I've known Frank
Isola. Poor Frank.
Does a great job.
Yes.
Great job here, and it's a wonderful columnist, NBA columnist. I've known him a long time. He does, his work's exemplary. You know, LeBron, first of all, when the story came up after Cleveland's magnificent that overtime win, Frank wrote it during that game, and was presented to LeBron. It was presented by somebody else, not Frank. And so that's where LeBron basically lashed out. And then he was told it was written by Frank, and LeBron still had a problem with the fact that Frank wrote it, as much because of the timing as anything else. You know, here's the deal with LeBron. We all know that he would love to have Carmelo Anthony in. Now, whether he's willing to actually give up Kevin Love, nobody can really believe that, because LeBron knows that Carmelo Anthony at this stage is not as good as a Carmelo Anthony. He'd probably love to bring on Carmelo Anthony as the fourth big guy up there, right, Alyssa?
He'd have
LeBron, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and Carmelo. LeBron would look at that as, hey, we could take on Golden State. So LeBron's been frustrated because Cleveland hasn't been able to, you know, bring in the players. He's kind of on edge. I think he looks at the Golden State situation and is kind of wondering, how am I going to match up with that team in June? And so he'll lash out at Frank. He'll lash out at Charles Barkley. As I told Frank the other day, it's kind of tough when LeBron takes things personally, right? It kind of makes it a personal thing.
Right. Hey, we love having him on the show. Mitch Lawrence, NBA columnist, host with SiriusXM NBA Radio. We look forward to another conversation. Have a great weekend, Mitch. And we missed you down here for the Super Bowl. You missed a very good game. It was historic.
It was historic. Thanks a lot for having me.
You bet. Much more coming your way right here in hour number one at SB Nation Radio. Listen anytime, anywhere for your Android or iOS device. All of your favorite SB Nation shows live and on demand right from your smart device. You can search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We're so glad you're with us on this Friday night. We have got a very special show, a ton of Super Bowl talk that we're going to get into. We've got to recap that incredible comeback by the Patriots. But right now, we're going to shift gears a bit. Hey, we're going to turn our attention to the University of Texas. We're going to talk about their men's basketball program. We're also going to take time to highlight Tom Herman's first recruiting class. What a pleasure to have back with us from the Sports Exchange and also from Horns Illustrated. He's a hybrid. He does it all. One of our dear friends of the show. That is Steve Habel. Good evening, Steve.
Thanks for having me back, Elissa. Good evening.
Hey, it's great to have you with us. And there is so much to get into. We want to get the latest on the Horns. But first, give us a quick hit on Super Bowl 51. It was incredible. It was a magical week right here in Houston. But your takeaways from that epic comeback by the Patriots. I bet you're a smart guy. You probably predicted that, right?
Well, I did predict New England would win, but not the way they did. We were discussing here that middle of the fourth quarter that the only way that the Falcons would lose was if they found a way to lose, and they certainly did by giving Brady just a little bit too much time. And, you know, he gets an inch, he takes a mile. So an epic Super Bowl, probably one that went for the ages.
You know, Steve, throughout the years, you have covered so many different sporting events. Have you ever witnessed something like this, that incredible of a comeback?
Yeah, the Texas national championship game against USC was probably
Vince Young.
To that, if not more, it was at least that fantastic. I mean, if you're a college football guy like I am, that was probably the most epic comeback of all time.
And one of the cool things about the Patriots, if you are a Patriots fan, and if you are a Longhorn fan, how about Malcolm Brown? He is now a Super Bowl champ. And he's only 23 years of age, and what he left early from UT to go ahead and take his career to the next level.
Yeah, Malcolm is a great, great big old guy player, and he he's been a stalwart there since his first season. He didn't have a spectacular season this year. He had some ups and downs, but he made some great plays in the AFC Championship game against Pittsburgh,
yeah.
And then had one tackle in the Super Bowl. But he's wearing something that a lot of people wish they had, is that Super Bowl ring. There's no doubt about that. He's excited about it.
Well, Steve, you know, he left, as I mentioned, a year early to turn pro. But let's talk about how Malcolm Brown was able to make such a quick transition to the NFL. I mean, he started all but one game in the regular season for the league's stingiest defense.
Yeah, Malcolm, he was trained pretty well here at the University of Texas. And when he came out of here after his junior year, he was pretty dominant. Enough to where Belichick took him with an early round pick. So his play has surprised anybody. I mean, he's a big guy and he moves well. Believe it or not, my son Christopher, who's 23 or 24 now, if I can even remember that, he played basketball against Malcolm Brown. Chris is a big guy. He's 6'6", and Malcolm was not as tall as Chris, but bigger and moved very well for Brenham High School. So not really surprising the success Malcolm has had at the next level.
Did Malcolm enjoy playing for Charlie Strong?
Yeah, he did. I think everybody enjoyed playing for Charlie Strong. It's just a matter they didn't really perform for Charlie Strong.
Uh-huh.
I think that that the guys that have come out of there, Jordan Hicks is another one that was filled out the Eagles that only got 1 year of Coach Strong. They've excelled at the next level. So obviously the talent was there. Unfortunately, it didn't really translate to wins on the field.
So, Steve-O, let's switch gears. Let's talk some Texas basketball. On Tuesday night, they came away with a two-point win over the Iowa State Cyclones. And that's not easy, even if it was at home and even if it was at the Frank Irwin Center. But talk to me about that win. But just overall, as we summarize the season up to this point, because the Big 12 Conference Tournament, it's going to be here before you know it. Would you say it's been pretty disappointing?
Well, I'd say that the Texas team is underachieved, but at the same time, a lot of freshmen, a lot of sophomores involved in the program for Shaka Smart right now. They're 10-14 after Tuesday night's win.
Right.
And they haven't won a game on the road all season, which is kind of crazy. And because all the close games they've played, but they've got four of their last seven will be on the road before the conference tournament. So, they're trying, but now they're just trying to, they're a team that could beat anybody or could lose anybody. I think that's evident by the fact that they've had so many close games. The other night, Texas actually had a 17-point lead in the first half. Iowa State was woeful shooting the basketball. Mm-hmm. They were 2 of 17 at one point. And Iowa State came back and made it a 4-point game at the half and never took the lead, but always had the, you know, they did tie it at the end, and Texas made the plays to win. So,
well, really...
Shaka Smart's got a I'm sorry, Alyssa. Shaka's probably 1 year away from having a real powerful team there, but everybody knows that he's got talent.
Well, Shaka Smart, you know, that's got to give his team a real boost for, you know, having a younger team, finishing out games, closing out games, getting that win.
Yeah, you would think that, but that's happened a couple times this year, and then it hasn't translated to success in the next game, especially if it's on the road. So they just have to be more consistent. They've got, like I said, they've got real talent. They've got another guy, a point guard coming in, which they really need. Jarrett Allen has been everything that he was supposed to be. He is probably a one-and-done player for Texas, unfortunately. So they will have a hole in the middle next year. It'll be nice to see him back. But, you know, they're a year away, Alyssa. I don't think there's any panic button being pushed here about Texas. It's been a little bit disappointing, but I think it was kind of expected.
You know, I'm glad you bring up the freshman forward in Jarrett Allen, because he was very instrumental in that hard-fought win over Iowa State on Tuesday night. In fact, he had 17 points, and he hit the game-winning free throws with 7 seconds left. So what are you saying? I mean, he's going to go to the pro level next to make himself eligible?
I think he could be a one-and-done player. I mean, that's really the discussion on him at this point. He's grown by leaps and bounds as the season's progressed. I mean, he had 3 or 4 big blocks in the night, and he moves well with the ball. He
right.
took a couple threes at his size, and Shaka says that he hits those threes in practice, and it's only a matter of time until he hits them in a game. And that will be a part of his repertoire as he moves forward. There's no doubt about it. But he is a talent. And I guess you could even compare him to somebody like Miles Turner, who played here for Texas a couple years ago.
Sure.
Coach Barnes,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. then went to the next level. I think Turner may be physically stronger than Allen, but the skill set is pretty much the same.
You're listening to the voice of Steve Habel. He is with the Sports Exchange, and also you can check him out with Horns Illustrated. Since we are talking about the Texas Longhorns right now, we were just highlighting, you know, perhaps the future of Jarrett Allen, but what about the future for their head coach in Shaka Smart? How willing are the boosters, the fans, to be patient? I mean, they don't want just, you know, 10 or 15 wins a year. They want to be contending and competing for a national championship.
Alyssa, there is no doubt in anybody's mind that's involved with the University of Texas that Shaka Smart is the man to take this program forward. He is one of the hardest working coaches you'll ever see from, you know, every day. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody coach as hard on a consistent basis as Shaka does. The kids respond to him. It's just a matter of, you know, when you're playing in the Big 12, you're not playing against a bunch of teams that are a bunch of patsies.
Right.
Just about everybody in the league is good enough to play in the NCAA tournament. It's, you know, when you're playing Kansas twice and Baylor twice and, you know, Iowa State twice, Kansas State twice, it's a tough deal. That, you know, kind of translates to football as well. There's not any a lot of talent drop off in any of these teams.
We're getting ready to run out of time with Steve Habel from the Sports Exchange and also Horns Illustrated. Got time for one more question. Give us a hit to kind of summarize how the Horns did with their recruiting class, and are they going to win 10 games in 2017?
Which question should I address first?
Just attack it.
Texas,
you can do it, Steve.
Players.
No pressure.
Texas signed 18 players. It was, if anything, it was an underwhelming class for Texas. And even Herman called it, and new Texas coach Tom Herman called it a transitional class. It was ranked in the low 20s nationwide. They maybe have one or two guys in there that will make impacts next year. You remember how young that Texas was and is going forward after last year's team. Winning 10 games, again, we go back to the fact that the conference is not dropping off anywhere. Texas is going to be very talented next year, you know, but their third game of the year is a road game against USC. I guess that'll really tell us where they are.
We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. We've got our eyes on the Texas Longhorns. Always a pleasure visiting with Steve Habel from the Sports Exchange and also Horns Illustrated. Thank you, Steve. Talk to you real soon.
Thank you, Alyssa. Bye-bye.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alyssa Walker Campbell back with you inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. As promised, it is time for some more NBA talk. And right now, we're going to head out to the Eastern Conference and zero in on the reigning NBA champs. Of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So much talk about Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Love. Who would be the better star for the Cavs? Should a trade be made? And we are delighted to have back with us Bob Finan. He has covered the Cavaliers for over 20 years. The first question off the top of my head is, how about LeBron James this past week hitting that stunning three-pointer? He banks it to force overtimes, and then the Cavs, eventually, they win.
That was a crazy shot.
It was.
Really, that whole game was just really something. They offensively, they're starting to really click, and there for a while, they were having some problems, and it seems like they're certainly getting their rhythm right now.
Well, I was going to ask you, because on Wednesday night, they picked up their fourth win in a row. So why have the Cavs, I mean, they're at the top of the Eastern Conference standings. What's all the whining all about?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it is around the Carmelo Anthony stuff, and I just don't see that happening. You certainly wouldn't trade Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony at this stage of their careers. And, you know, Love is one of the better rebounders in the league. And I don't know where they would replace that. The Cavs could use another big to begin with. They don't want to ship any of them out of town.
Well, Bob, you talk about the addition potentially of another big, but what about, we've talked about this many times over the past weeks in my show, what about getting some depth at the point guard position to back up Kyrie Irving?
Well, I mean, really, LeBron is playing the point guard position right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's been putting up big minutes. I think he's leading the league in minutes. But I think, you know, they have some needs. Their bench isn't that strong, but I'm not sure what way they're going to go with that. You know, they worked out those guys last week, and, there are a couple of those guys that are pretty good players, Heinrich and Chalmers, Mario Chalmers. I mean, you know, these are guys that have some kind of blemish. They haven't played in a while, coming off a major injury, you know, getting some age on them. So I don't know what way they're going to go. I don't think anyone in the D-League is going to come up here and play significant minutes. So they might have to do with what they've got.
We are shining the spotlight on the Cleveland Cavaliers, going one-on-one with Bob Finan. He is with the Medina Gazette. And, of course, Bob is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Call or click today and find out what you can save. And so, you know, when we talk about LeBron James, okay, Bob, give us some insight. I mean, what kind of influence does he have, you know, with the Cavs front office and with owner Dan Gilbert, perhaps to force a trade or to make a trade? Because the trade deadline, it is quickly approaching. We are 2 weeks out.
Well, I don't think he's going to demand a trade. I think he certainly has clout in the organization, and they're going to listen to what he has to say. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the GM's job to make the move.
Let's think back, you know, the playing days of Michael Jordan. Would he have ever been so vocal and gone to the front office? Would he have done something like this, talking about, you know, because all of the rumors that potentially he was, shopping around perhaps for Carmelo Anthony to come on over to Cleveland?
Probably not. But this is kind of a new age in basketball. And LeBron, earlier in his career, really didn't say that kind of stuff, but he's certainly saying it now, and he's been very vocal mm-hmm. on what he thinks his team needs. And you know, the team isn't perfect; it does have some flaws, but they're still a really good team.
Okay, we've been talking about this Carmelo Kevin Love deal, but you know, his response to the article that was written by Frank Isola, he was saying that it was trash, and he even said that the writer was trash.
Yeah, that was a little harsh there. Frank's a friend of mine, but, I think he just got tired of answering all the mellow questions, and this was served up to him, and
he kind of lashed out at it. I just don't know where that was coming from.
LeBron's just ready for a break as we approach the midpoint of the season, right? He's ready for the All-Star break, Bob.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so talk to me about what is the future for Kevin Love. Do you see the Cavaliers, that this is the final destination for him?
Oh, that's really hard to answer. They tried for years to find this stretch four, and this guy is, you know, among the best in the league offensively. And I'm not going to say that he's going to end his career here, but I just don't see them trading him anytime soon.
Hey, Bob Finan has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. You can go and listen to our entire interview at podcastarena.com. Bob has got a new book that is out titled 100 Things Cavalier Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And you know what, Bob? We think back to 1 year ago, and the Cavs, they made that bold move, and they fired David Blatt midseason, and they had the best record in the Eastern Conference. What were they thinking? I know you include this in the book. We've got 30 seconds.
Well, that was a shocking move to me. We all kind of knew that Tyronn Lue was going to be is kind of like the coach in waiting, but I just didn't think it was going to happen there. They said there's some kind of discord in the back, you know, in the behind the scenes going on, and David Griffin swooped in and made that bold move.
Hey, Bob Finan's been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Check him out, Medina Gazette, and also check out his new book, 100 Things Cavalier Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Congratulations, Bob. Continued success. We look forward to another interesting conversation, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way in hour number two right here at the next generation of sports, SB Nation Radio.